From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 180, recorded Friday, September 10th, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. You're listening to Run As Radio. With me, my co-host, Greg Hughes. Sir?
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. You've been busy, busy, busy.
Quite busy, actually. How about yourself?
Travel a fair bit. Got back from Tech Ed Australia, New Zealand, and now we're into the fall conference season, so it's going to be mayhem right through till November.
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, this time of year, I know for you, has historically always been rather crazy.
And one of these days, we'll get to travel together again, because it's always been fun to do some run-as's live.
Yeah, that's always a good time.
All right, well, let's jump right in with our guest today. Our guest is Adam Hall, and he's a technical product manager for Opalis. Opalis is an IT automation and orchestration solution providing integration across the entire data center. Adam has been in the industry since 1995, working in a wide variety of customer and Microsoft partner organizations prior to joining Microsoft in March 2008 as a technology strategist in New Zealand. Adam transferred to Redmond in June of 2010 to take on his current TPM role. And we were talking before the show about the fun and excitement of visas and green cards and all those good things. Welcome, Adam.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
I'm well, sir. And I have not heard of Opalis. What is this?
So Opalis is a recent acquisition by Microsoft. We acquired Opalis in December of 2009, so only sort of seven, eight short months ago. And Opalis is a runbook automation tool, as the terminology goes, providing integration and automation across the data center.
So this sounds like something that System Center should be doing.
Yes, so we have landed Opalis into the System Center team. This is the sixth product within System Center, joining Configuration Manager, Ops Manager, Data Protection Manager, Service Manager, which one am I missing?
Virtual Machine Manager.
Virtual Machine Manager, there we go.
My favorite one, and you left it out.
Exactly. So that rounds out all six products.
Oh, okay. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what this brings to the table here.
So it's really about, if you look at the existing five products previously, they were all very powerful in their own right.
Right.
But we didn't have a deep integration that really pulled it all together to provide that dynamic data center, as we've been talking about for a number of years. And what Opalis brings to the table is our ability to orchestrate workflow across all of not only the System Center products, but also a large variety of third-party tools that exist within the data center as well.
Ah, okay. So HP's OpenView, Tivoli, those kinds of things?
Absolutely. We have about 30-odd connectors across a number of data center tool sets, BMC, Blade Logic, CA, HP, IBM, Veritas, VMware, those kind of tool sets, EMC.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, really an integrated environment so that you start having one console view of what's going on.
Yeah, and if you look at the way that a data center works and the anatomy of a data center, it is heterogeneous by nature. There's network layers, there's storage layers, operating systems, applications, those kinds of things. And there's a lot of integration required across a data center, no matter where it's hosted, to ensure that all those systems can talk to each other. And when you need to deliver something out as a business service, how do you get all of that to talk together so that it delivers a common platform with a common service level?
So this feels to me like the sort of procedural side of maintaining a data center.
Very much so. And there's a common question that I get is, isn't this what Service Manager does?
Right.
Isn't this what a service management tool does? And the way that I sort of differentiate these things is that Service Manager sits up at the person level. It's up in the business layer, if you will. And this is where the actual process sits. Now, when you go down into the Opalis level, there's no people down there. It's all systems and technology.
Okay.
So The way that I would describe it is that service manager knows why something is done and it knows who wanted it done.
Right, because that's sort of the requesting layer where the where business people are pushing down on IT for things that need to happen.
Exactly. They're not worried how it happens. They just say, I want something and give it to me by Tuesday.
Right.
What Opalis does is it knows what needs to be done and it knows how to do it.
All right. So, I mean, you said it's largely an automation tool.
Absolutely, yeah. Automation and integration are the two sort of pillars of Opalis, absolutely.
What would be a couple of good management, you know, use cases? What are some stories, some great examples of how a business would take advantage of this, or maybe businesses have taken advantage of this and really seen big benefit?
Yeah, so that's a good thing. And I think the there are so many scenarios that we can pick on, but I think if you start to look at something like the maturity of how you use technology, right at the bottom layer, you've got the removing of a bunch of manual tasks. So where you have scripts and batch files and scheduled tasks and those kinds of things, they're typically undocumented. They're typically written by people who tend to move around between organizations. And so you see scenarios where a business has a process that is put together in a bunch of scripts and batch files in a sort of a quasi-automated way, but it's not documented and nobody knows what it does. And then that person leaves and someone goes, what does that do? How do we do that? That thing that runs on Monday morning, what does it do? And it stopped working. Who knows how to fix it?
Right.
So the ability to automate the ordinary is a phrase that I'm starting to use, which is all those things that you don't even know are happening, put them inside Opalis. They are now documented by nature. They're auditable. You can import and export them. They're reusable. So that's sort of the base level of removing some of those manual tasks. As you move up the maturity level, you start to looking at implementing change control and leveraging a service management tool where change requests and incidents get logged and you can react to those. So you can monitor service manager, for example, and see that a change request has been made to do something. Opalis can see that the change request has been approved and then go and actually make that change happen at the system level.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
As you get up to the top of the maturity model, you start to look at things like private cloud and public cloud and dynamic provisioning and capacity management, rapid scale out, responding to application state. So something like an application level stops functioning for some reason, Opalis tries a bunch of standard remediation tasks. If they don't succeed, then it escalates up and raises an incident, brings it back, and then does things like restarting machines or scaling out a web application or whatever might be required.
You're actually talking about automation wrapped around this?
Absolutely. Yeah, automation is a key fundamental of Opalis, which is, you know, I can do everything from a data center goes down. I can sit back and watch Opalis stand it up in a secondary data center.
Wow.
Those kind of things. This is the power of what this tool can do.
You know, this has been one of my big complaints with cloud technology in general is that, well, we have this elasticity. There's really been no automation around that elastic behavior.
Yeah, I agree completely. And the things around, you look at something like a nice easy phrase like elasticity, which sounds quite exciting and interesting. When you boil it down to what that really means, you're scaling out servers, you're scaling out applications, you're standing up more to achieve what you require. And the ability to push it out and make it bigger as the load goes up, and then being able to see that the loads come down and to scale back in again. And I think that's a key thing where we look at how Opalis fits inside the system center product set. We've got things like operations manager that know what's going on. They know what those loads look like. Opalis can see that ops manager's reporting that a web application, for example, is flatlining at 85% constant. And now we're starting to see a degraded level of service delivered out to customers. It can automatically stand up more servers, push that application out, bring the load down across many more servers. Then when it sees in a few hours' time the load's dropped off, it can start dropping those servers off and scaling back down again. And if you look at that in a private cloud or a public cloud scenario, you're paying for that resource to be available for a period of time. If you're not using it, you don't want to pay for it.
You know, I like the idea or the story that the technology could stand up a replacement data center is really, that'd be certainly a great benefit, a really sexy story. But I also like I like the phrase you said you're using, automating the ordinary. It's the day-to-day stuff that'll really bite you from an operational standpoint.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's really when people say, how do I get started with Opalis? My first sort of response is automate the ordinary. Go find out. You know, a lot of organizations, I think, would be surprised to understand just how many of these batch files and scripts and things have been written and are running inside their technology environment undetected, if you will, because
right.
they've been written by previous employees who no longer work there. It's quite scary when you go in and do some of this analysis to go, what does that do? And you point at a script that's running, and they're like, I don't know, we don't touch that because it might break. You know, and then it does break one day, or someone makes a change they don't realize that it's doing, and then you don't know what to do. So automating all of those things, and there's always tasks that, you know, somebody comes in on a Monday morning, they spend the first 3 hours of their Monday morning checking logs and making sure things ran and doing manual tasks, those kind of things. We want to take that away so that person can be freed up to do something a whole lot more interesting and a whole lot more valuable to the business.
Right. We don't have to hire really smart people to do, you know, heavy lifting. We can hire them to use their brains for their specialties.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And you look at things even like user provisioning and so forth. You know, there are lots of tools that can do all of that, but it's typically initiated and controlled by a person. So even though you've got smart tools to actually create user accounts and stand up mailboxes and those kinds of things, who automates the actual process of all of those different things doing their bit? You know, Active Directory, creating an account, Exchange, creating a mailbox, System Center, Configuration Manager, pushing applications down and building machines, pulling all of those disparate things together into one process and being able to audit that it's done and put controls and mechanisms around that with a service management tool.
So far, and I want to check an assumption here, it sounds like from the discussion so far that this is a Microsoft-centric targeted technology. Is that correct?
So we bought Opalis. One of the main reasons we bought Opalis is the third-party integrations that we get. So all of those integrations, we can work with third-party tools just as well as we can work with our own tools. And in fact, when we bought Opalis, it ran on Server 2003, and it didn't have connectors into the existing System Center products other than Operations Manager. So since the acquisition, we've been working on releasing updates to bring it up to Server 2008 R2 platform support, and we'll be releasing very shortly the deep integration packs across the rest of System Center. So it's actually, at acquisition, it was the inverse of what you just said, as opposed to being Microsoft-centric. The language I'm using is Microsoft-centric, but certainly we integrate across all of those third-party tools.
It does sound like you're describing a tool for implementing a service-level agreement. A number of times that I've had to sit down with a service-level agreement and an infrastructure and say, how are we going to make sure we're delivering this?
Yeah, and I think it's... Opalis is a tool that helps you ensure that you can meet your SLAs as
right.
opposed to measuring that you've met your SLAs. So when someone says, we want to be able to have a workstation built within 20 minutes, as an example,
right.
Opalis doesn't build the workstation and doesn't put the apps onto it. What it does is it sees that change request has been requested, and it goes, I'm going to make sure that this happens. It fires off to the delivery of the operating system mechanism, pushes to make sure that the applications are down, and then reports back that it's been done. So it's really, you know, typically doing a lot of things where a person would be involved, which is by nature we make mistakes and we take time and we have to take coffee breaks and all those kinds of things. Opalis doesn't need to take a coffee break. It runs 24/7. It doesn't need to sleep.
But then
I can't do that. I need my coffee breaks. Coffee's mandatory in my life.
Yeah.
I have bad headaches.
Yeah, so last time I looked, we are simply creatures converting caffeine into automation, right?
Nice.
I'm thinking of this, of course, I look at this from web performance perspective, because it's what I'm working on all the time these days, is getting sites running at their optimal performance. And you often have these service level agreements that say things like, hey, maximum page response time is 10 seconds, and we want to be able to support this many users. And most of the effort goes into instrumenting that just to say, are we even making it? But I starting to conceive of this whole other level of, yes, we make it on certain hours of the day, and then when we don't, we fall off, we're not actually delivering what we're supposed to deliver. We have an automated response to that beyond sending me an email saying, you need to look for a new job.
Yeah, and I think that if you take, and this is where we start to go back to the power of the system center as a suite as opposed to individual products, where you'd have operations manager running synthetic transactions across that website and knowing that you're within your SLA through its distributed application monitoring. If it goes below or gets close to the threshold, it fires off to Opalis, or Opalis even sees that dynamically, depending on which way you want to do it, and goes, hey, we've got a service deal that says we've got to have a response time of 10 seconds. You know what? It's taking 8 at the moment. We're getting pretty close to threshold. Perhaps we better scale that application out with a couple more servers, or however the scale out happens, so that the load is getting spread more. We see it drop down to back to 5 seconds, which is normal, and we go, cool, we've done enough. Then we start to see that nobody's doing anything. We go, well, we don't need 12 servers running anymore. Let's bring it back to the standard 7.
Yeah, that's certainly one angle of the response. The failover scenario is also interesting as well. They're recognizing this site's no longer functioning. We should swap to the other one. I've always gotten chills from hot failover because you get notification, typically like SQL Server. All I get is a notification. By the way, we flopped. You know, we're on the other server. Thanks.
There's a couple of ways of looking at it. You can do the hot failover is something that can be done through clustering and virtualization and live migrations and things like that. I'm looking at is, as a lot of people will know, there was a rather large earthquake back in Christchurch last week.
Indeed.
Where a lot of data centers got dropped and a lot of people were just bang gone. You know, someone just literally pulled the plug out of the back of the data center and it went down. Now, if you had a secondary data center in another location monitoring the data center going, hey, that primary data center just didn't, it's not there anymore. Okay, now let's do a new data center startup. You've got replicated data, replicated VMs. Let's bring up the data center in the correct way. We bring up the network layer. We bring up the storage layer. We bring up the domain controllers. Once you've got DCs up, you can bring Exchange up, bring SQL up. Bringing things up in the correct order at the correct time, and not just based on, I think it takes about 2 minutes to bring a DC up, but actually polling the DC to go, hey, authentication's working. It really is up. Now let's bring up that next box. It's the smarts around bringing things up in the right order based on knowing that something has happened.
This does sound like something you have to tune a bunch of times to get right.
Depending on what you want to do. Opalis, if you looking at the Opalis console, it looks remarkably like Visio. It's a drag and drop, bring what we call activities out, the little icons with a pretty picture. That's called an activity. Quite literally, you bring out the activities required to do all of those steps, and then you link them together with the logic that you want. So it can do looping by default, things like waiting for things to happen, and branching and getting into some pretty deep scenarios where there may be 4 different outcomes and you go down a different path of the workflow depending on what the outcome is. It's really a matter of dragging out those icons and linking them together like you would a Visio diagram. The difference is that each of those activities actually does something.
Interesting.
It talks to a system, it runs a script, it polls a server, it hands back, monitors whatever it might be.
And like I said, there's plugins for this, so that might actually be monitoring into an OpenView server.
Correct, yeah. Any of those integration packs that exist, if you look at something like what we can do with Service Manager, we can do the same with BMC Remedy.
Right.
What we can do with Operations Manager, we can do with OpenView and Tivoli and those kind of things. So that's why I look at the power of this thing that it's not many data centers are purely Microsoft at the application and operating system level.
Right.
So therefore, we need to be able to work with whatever the customer has. Just because a customer has an investment in a different product doesn't mean they don't require the same level of automation and integration. And that's where Opalis really brings a lot of power to the table.
Yeah, the challenge here is exercising that workflow thoroughly, coming up with all those scenarios like, well, what if the DC doesn't come up after, you know, how long do I wait before I go to an alternative path?
Agreed. And there's a lot of, that's where if you look at the skill sets of IT pros, for example, rather than sitting there writing scripts and batch files and doing mundane tasks, put some brain power into it and work out, hey, I don't need to focus on those ground zero little things. I know what the process is. What's the brain power required to actually know that these things have happened and the timing? There's some real value in the brain power that you can bring to bear on that process rather than being the operator of the process.
Because normally we end up doing both, right? You cover a whiteboard in that workflow, coming up with all the, I mean, we've done this, right? You spend the day battling on the whiteboard through all the different scenarios of what a classically, you know, disaster recovery failover to a remote site looks like. And then you start doling out the tasks of, okay, you build this piece and you build that piece and we'll come back, we'll test here and here. I mean, it becomes almost a programming exercise.
Yeah, and that's where what iPilot does is the integration packs those activities. So, for example, raising a change request in Service Manager is one icon on the screen. Inside that icon activity, you say, where is my service management tool? Oh, it's over there. There's the name of the server or the service that's running. And then you hit the button that says, show me a list of templates that are available. Hey, I'd like to use that one. And then it pulls back dynamically all the fields that are available inside that template. This is the data that I would like to put inside of that. So it takes that programming aspect away. Whenever you've got an activity inside an integration pack, it really gets down to knowledge of the environment as opposed to knowledge of how to write code to make it do it.
And it gets
the real value, right, is taking, you know, you hire well-paid, good, hopefully well-paid, good, smart people, and if they're spending a substantial chunk of their time doing the same thing over and over and over again, that's where the real value of automation is, right? Automate that so that they can go to the next level and spend their time on the things that they're not otherwise able to spend time on. Start solving problems instead of you know, doing busy work.
Yeah, I agree that the power is in understanding what the process is and what all those different parameters and paths are depending on what you want. The actual making it so is where Opalis becomes a drag and drop, click and point scenario. Now, there still may be a requirement for code and script and things if you've got, you know, systems that are either unique to the environment, they're a custom built application or whatever. But so long as there is an API or a command line interface or some way of talking to something, there's very few things that we can't integrate with.
Yeah, Greg's hit it here, the instrumentation point of we can't test what we can't measure successfully. I'm going to perhaps end up in discussions with some developers around a custom app they're building, figuring out what dependencies it actually has. Had a terrible whammy with an app that was highly dependent on getting current exchange rates. And that, you know, nobody let the IT folks know that that was a huge dependency. And when that internet connection went down that grabbed that data, this app basically seized up. Even though the app itself was running, it refused to work because it didn't have current data. Like that, there I see, I think we have to go to development at some point and say, how do we instrument this? Or how can they output something we can grab onto with Opalis?
Yeah, and we can have all the logic that we want inside Opalis that says, ask the application, and if it's okay, carry on.
Right.
But if the application doesn't respond and say, I'm not okay, and here's why, it's very hard to respond to that. If all it says is yes, and you go, okay, cool, I take that as a success then. You said yes. But if the answer is really yes, but, then that's where we need applications to be providing that feedback through their mechanisms. I agree.
Well, and you sort of talked about the different tiers in this automation process, starting off with just, you know, getting rid of the manual stuff and then integration and then ultimately this IT as a service model. I could see that there's different points, just being able to instrument the app, but then getting a more deep, I'm running at 85%, you know, before failure, saying I could be getting into trouble here, you know, give me some more breathing room. That's a much more granular level of understanding.
Yes, yes. And there's still a lot of smarts required to define, well, what is an acceptable service level? That 10-second rule, for example.
Right.
Someone hopefully has thought about that, you know what, 10 seconds is actually an acceptable level and it's not just made up number. It's working out, well, how long, if we're sitting there, it's taking 6 seconds to do something and our threshold is 10, how quickly are we going to get from 6 to 10?
Right.
Is it that, you know, it's okay, it's going to take another hour before we hit 8%, then we've got time to react? Or is it a, hey, once we get to 6%, we're only 20 seconds away from getting to 10. We got to go now.
Right.
And understanding those rule sets are very critical in IT process, especially when you're reacting to things. Timeliness and scale out can be critical.
It's not like servers pop out little signs saying, help me. It's you've got to figure out what that service looks like, healthy and not healthy. I guess that's our real job once we get away from dealing with the plumbing.
Yes. And that's where, why you look at operations manager and why the product teams provide in the management packs. Into operations manager is that's where the logic is in terms of really understanding what that application is doing and how it's behaving, then we can react to that.
Right. And then anticipate changes on that.
Yeah.
So if I'm listening right now and, I'm running an IT shop and I'm thinking to myself, wow, he's talking about all the problems that I have. How do I get started with this? What do I need? What do I do? What's the answer to that question?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So from our side, we've got three things that can help people get going. The first thing is that we are running a customer evaluation program for Opalis. This is a semi-formal program that people can sign up to where we are going to provide guided learning activities. We are going to step through sort of monthly themes where we take people from being able to just install the product and do basic drag and drop activities and understanding the fundamentals of how to do a process automation all the way through to showing people how we build out our pretty complex demos, pulling together multiple systems, reacting to events and those kinds of things. So that kicks off next week on the 16th of September. So if anyone's interested in joining that program, they can do that. And you can join after that point in time. We will provide a mechanism for people to play catch up. But that's something that's going to be kicking off shortly. We provide a 180-day trial that people can download and just give it a crack themselves. That's available from microsoft.com/systemcenter. And if you go to the Opalis site, you will see that there's a 180-day trial that includes all of the installation code, all of the licenses and so forth that you can activate and get 180 days of playing around by yourself. Or you can talk to any of our Microsoft partners and our local data center TSPs, our technical solution professionals, who can run proof of concepts with you at the customer level and help you get going with that.
Now, Opalis doesn't seem to live solely on its own. You do need other products involved, stuff to communicate with, right? Is there sort of a minimum set of the System Center tools you have to have?
So you don't require any other System Center tools to use Opalis in its own right. It can be installed in complete isolation, and you could integrate it with only third-party tools. We obviously would like to see people using more of the suite.
Right.
We have a lot of customers running only Configuration Manager or only Operations Manager or that combination. And Operations Manager in particular is one of the quickest and most intelligent integrations we can do, and customers can get some real value from reacting to alerts from within Ops Manager very, very quickly. So certainly there's no requirement for those from a technology point of view. What people do need to be aware of is that the way that you can purchase Opalis is through buying the suite.
Right.
Opalis is not available as an individual license. It is part of the System Center suite licensing.
So you're going to end up getting the whole thing anyway?
Correct. That's correct.
Adam Hall, thanks so much for coming on the show. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.